Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading, Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through the first part of verse 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, long, long ago, even before the first Star Wars movie, back in a time called the Cold War, people developed a way to go out into space, all the way to the moon. One thing that made this possible was computer technology, with capabilities about as great as today's smartphones. But with progress, the tools have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Now people are looking at even bigger challenges, going to Mars, and bigger results using even smaller means. Much longer ago, during the time of the prophet Micah and King Hezekiah, the people of Judah were facing a different kind of challenge, a different war. Hezekiah had worked to restore a religious reformation, restoring the Jerusalem temple, getting rid of false worship. But meanwhile, the Assyrian Empire was growing more mighty. It had invaded the northern kingdom of Israel and had destroyed it and scattered them to the winds because they were unfaithful to God. And then the Assyrian army was now threatening Jerusalem with the same fate. King Hezekiah described this situation. This day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. That's the way he pictures it. But he prayed to God for help, and God sent a single angel who destroyed the entire Assyrian army in one night. And yet, Micah prophesies here, there are even bigger challenges. Not just purifying worship practices, but purifying hearts of people. And even though they have escaped the Assyrians, they're going to be taken over eventually by the Babylonians because of their unfaithfulness. But God has in store an even greater resulting deliverance, accomplished by an even more powerful but smaller means. A baby born in the tiny town of Bethlehem. And so what we see is greatness comes through little Bethlehem. But through this lens, things look backwards. But it's Jesus coming that causes a great reverse. Let's think first of how greatness comes through little Bethlehem. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. There will be a new ruler, Micah says, who will be even greater and better than good King Hezekiah, as good and wise as he was. And he will rule not only Judah, which survived the Assyrians, but all of Israel. He's going to restore the remnant. Where will he come from? Well, part of the answer is from Bethlehem. When Israel's first king, Saul, who was a big, tall guy, was a failure, God decided to choose a new king. And to do that, he sent the prophet Samuel to the little town of Bethlehem to find a little shepherd boy named David. He made Jerusalem his capital when he became king. And so all the rest of the kings of Israel were born there in the capital where the king was, Jerusalem. But things went downhill for them. And God said he was going to go back and start over again in Bethlehem. After Jerusalem was destroyed and its king had died, he was going to find a new bold and faithful shepherd. But where this king comes from goes back even further than King David. Micah hints at this by using the name Ephrathah. That is the name by which this little spot was called way back in the days of his ancestor Judah and the patriarch Jacob, the father of the whole nation of Israel. But where this child comes from goes back even farther than that. His origin, Micah says, is from of old, from ancient times. He goes all the way back to Adam, because God is going to restore paradise. In fact, his origin goes all the way back before eternity, because this king is going to be the eternal Son of God. Even looking at a tiny hole, you can see a lot. We're going to picture something little here, which is in place. We're going to picture Bethlehem as a tiny little spot there. Okay? Now, if you look at that, you might not be able to see a whole lot in a little spot, but if you look at a whole little hole, you can see a whole lot. If through that hole, you look a long way back, you see a long way through there, then you can see a big picture through such a tiny spot. That's the kind of thing that Micah is picturing for us. Where does this king comes from? He comes from all the way back to God's original plan. Have you ever heard of a pinhole camera? It doesn't have a glass lens, but it's like a piece of paper or cardboard with just a tiny hole in it. It only works if it's a tiny hole. And through this hole, the light on one side, nature picture or whatever, shines through and becomes a big picture on the other side again, if you hold up a piece of paper to it. That's how cameras work. It spreads out the picture on the other side because this hole acts like a lens. Now, you could compare the same kind of thing to a baby being born. Here's our camera. We've got big on this side, through the tiny hole to the other side. So it's big again. That's what happens when a baby is born. A baby who's come full term now to squeeze through a tiny top to the other side, where finally it can grow even bigger and bigger yet. What happens in Bethlehem is like a lens in which we see the great things God has planned for us from eternity, which he miniaturizes and squeezes with all his great power into a tiny human baby born in Bethlehem to fulfill his great plans for us. Now, another thing that happens when you look through a lens is things look backwards. Micah writes, "Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth, when the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel." When light goes through a lens of any kind of a camera, the picture is reversed, turned around backwards. Those of you old enough to remember negatives, okay, that's why they look the way they do. In other words, things do not appear as they really are. For example, what's that? Well, it looks like a cloud. Oh, but actually, it's a lake. And then, what's that? Well, it looks like it's a deep valley. Oh, no, but that's actually a big mountain. Well, then what's that? It looks like a path down into the valley. Oh, no, that's a path that leads up to the top of the mountain. Things are reversed. They are not as they might appear. This is the way it is in our lives as well. Things are not always as they appear. Micah pictures this. When she who is in labor gives birth, it feels terrible, but actually it is wonderful. And in the end, things are reversed again, and misery turns to joy. Micah is saying, this is what it's going to be like for the people of Judah and Israel. At first, they're going to be given up. That looks like defeat. It's hopeless. Everything is over. But it's not that way. Even though they're carried into Babylonian exile, they're not going to be lost and gone forever. This is the opposite of what it appears. God is working to purify them and then to first restore them to faithfulness and then to restore them to greatness. He's going to reunite all of them. Notice he mentions both Israel and Judah, bring them back to their homeland and rebuild the temple. But this is just one step in God's ultimate plan to give true faith and forgiveness of sins to all people, the big picture, to unite everyone in the whole world into his church, and to bring us all into God's temple in our homeland of heaven. Even though for now, for Hezekiah and Judah, and for us, it doesn't look this way, because we look at things upside down and backwards. It looks like our human boasting is the way to glory, and our fighting is the way to peace. But our doing can't do it. When we feel under attack, it looks to us like the thing to do is to work harder or to lash out at people who annoy us. Or maybe to make ourselves feel better by indulging in spinning or relaxing and getting our mind off of things. We may not see much benefit in what seems like such little things, spending some time in prayer or in Bible devotions. Spending time in entertainment looks much more attractive. When it looks like there's a cloud hanging over our heads, we may not see the water of God's Word as a peaceful lake. When we've made big mistakes and feel like failures, we may want to look the other way and ignore our faults. Confessing our sins to God might feel like a pathway down into guilt and shame and punishment, when actually it is the way up to forgiveness and relief. When we look ahead, we can see what's in store for us, and it may look like the valley of the shadow of death. But God wants us to see that instead it is life on Mount Zion with Him. This is because of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, which looked like defeat to His enemies, looked like failure to His disciples, but was actually the reverse of what it appeared. It was His way to victory over sin and death and the devil. Why? Because Jesus' coming is what causes the great reverse. Micah says, He shall stand and shepherd His flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord His God, and they shall dwell secure. For now He shall be great to the end of the earth, and He shall be their peace. It's an interesting picture. Have you ever been in court? Who is sitting and who is standing? Well, it's the judge who's sitting. And it's the lawyer of defense who's standing there in front of him. So if you see a picture of a majestic king, he's sitting on his throne. But the majestic and powerful king that Micah pictures here is standing. He is standing up for us. He is defending us like a shepherd protecting his flock. So who is sitting in this picture? It's us. Micah says, we shall dwell secure. The word in the Hebrew for dwell is literally sit. Because he is standing guard, that's why we can sit and relax. I'm reading a book right now about the Good Shepherd and the imagery in the Bible of that. One thing I didn't know is it points out that you cannot train a sheep to sit like a dog. You say sit and it sits. A sheep will only sit if its stomach is full and it feels secure and safe. We sit. We dwell secure because as God's sheep we are provided for and we are safe. Mary in the gospel reading talks about this great reversal. God has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty, but He has exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Micah is not saying, so don't worry, everything will turn out fine in the end. What he's saying is that God Himself will do this. His strength is the strength of the Lord. His majesty is the majesty of God. God is the only one who can help us. This great reversal doesn't just happen. It happens because of Jesus. Our epistle reading from Hebrews tells how our sacrifices and offerings, our attempts to be pious, are never good enough to please God, to make us deserve His love and His blessings. So God replaces what we are to do with Jesus and His perfect obedience in our place and His willing sacrifice of Himself on the cross, which is what finally makes us holy once and for all. So, He doesn't just make peace on earth between Hezekiah and Assyria or the Babylonians or between us and our enemy of the decade. He Himself is our eternal peace with God. Verse 2 calls Him a ruler. Now that word doesn't mean just one who controls with power, but one who leads with wisdom. God does not force us or anyone else to do anything with His power. He leads us through the wisdom that's revealed in the Bible. He leads us to faith. That's that through which we receive His forgiveness and His life and all of His blessings. And so in these verses, He leads us to see how in the midst of all the wars and the personal struggles and the technology and the exciting goals of today, greatness comes through little Bethlehem, a little place through which the ancient Great One comes. Through this lens, things look backwards. Things are not the way they appear to our eyes. God's mysterious ways look backwards to us, but through defeat, He brings deliverance. And through repentance comes renewal. Jesus coming is what causes this great reverse. It's only because of Jesus doing that all these things happen. Because He stands up for us, we can sit in security now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.